And away we go. We're off and running Thursday, December the 19th, 2019. 12 and a half minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a very special guest coming up here momentarily for the first part of the program, and then the rest of the program, we are going to just talk, because I have so much stuff I want to go over this morning. We've gotten Christmas cards here at the station I want to go over. We've gotten candy here at the station I want to talk about, and I also want to talk about why today is one of my favorite days of the year. Tonight is the WWGH Radio Christmas Party, 7:15 to 9 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. It'll be live on the air. It is supported by Domino's Pizza. Telephone number 740-383-3030. That's become a tradition. Now tonight, here live on the air, myself, Charlie Evers, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Mike Wilson, Glenn Coble, Linda Sims, Nate Redman, and Adam Lepp. Special guest tonight, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, a special musical performance by the Leshefsky family, and Charlie Evers tonight for the sixth year. This is our sixth Christmas special. We'll be reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas," and Mary Ellen Withrow will be reading live "Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus," the famous letter written so many years ago about Santa Claus. And we'll have our sing-along with the staff and crew, and Santa Claus will be here. How can we forget Santa Claus being here tonight? 7 to 9 p.m. You will not want to miss this. This is one of the most fun things we do all year, because it's one of those rare times where we all get together here and really have a great time. So mark that down on your calendars, write it down, put it in your cell phone as a note, make sure a buzzer goes off, set the alarm that tonight from 7:15 until 9 p.m. you listen to the WWGH Radio Christmas special. It should be one for the ages tonight, to say the least. Now, we've got a whole day of programming here, too, today. We have myself on until 10 o'clock this morning, and then the Charlie Evers Show will be on this morning, 10:10 until 12 noon, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and then Swap Shop with Glenn Coble. I know he wants to talk to you today from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. And then the Adam the Computer Guy Show this afternoon from 2:10 to 3 p.m. So all kinds of great stuff coming up here on WWGH Radio. And as I say, we will have our special guest here momentarily, and that will be a lot of fun as well. It's certainly an interesting time. I think this is our special guest, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to step out for just a moment and then come back with our special guest right here on WWGH Radio. It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you, or that you would like to do, to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Yes. Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And here we are back, 17 and a half minutes past the hour. And as I said, we have a special guest here on the program this morning. Do want to remind you, though, again, tonight, the big live Christmas special here on the station, 7:15 to 9 p.m. It is going to be something. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, reading tonight live on the air, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, live musical performance by the Leshefsky family. The whole staff will be here tonight. Charlie Evers reading Twas the Night Before Christmas, and of course, Santa Claus will be here, 7:15 to 9 p.m. Don't miss that tonight here on WWGH Radio. Now, here we are in the full swing of the holiday season, and what do you do during the holiday season? Well, you visit with family. And there are a few guests on this program who over the years have become family. And one of those is a person who's stopping by this morning. There's nothing to plug. There's nothing big to talk about. He's just stopping by, and we're going to share memories of holiday past and also talk about how he will be on in just about a week to talk about the big predictions coming up for 2019. Although we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to save that for next week. So get ready for that. He is an amazing talk show guest. He has been great on this show every time he's been on. He was one of Johnny Carson's favorites. He was one of David Letterman's favorites. He is a classic, a true original in the world. Nobody like him. World famous mentalist paying us a holiday visit here this morning. The amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, happy holidays.
God, you, this is ironic because talk about the flavor of the unexpected. I'm not saying the news is unexpected because we won't go into that right now. As we know, you heard a few things happen here and there in Washington, what have you. But it's I have to tell you, I think most people right now are saying they got to go on with Christmas. Christmas is around the corner. They weren't paying that much attention to what was going on anyway. But the truth of the matter is, I'm walking in the house. Literally, I give you my word. I'm walking in because I had a booking out of town yesterday. Then coming back, there was a little bit of trouble in some areas. No accidents. The ice has been cleared and so forth. My head is not cleared, but don't, Scott, you won't let that interfere with you're talking to me because you're used to me no matter what condition I'm in. So I'm walking. I'm saying, I got to get inside in time because I'm with Scott. So I am now sitting in my office. I'm now sitting down in a chair. And God, it's great to be home. You got to my house before I did.
I'm like that. I'm always there early, checking things out. That's how I do it.
Well, you know, though, Scott, what is, and I seriously mean this because I've done, you know, thousands of shows through the years, television and radio. But what's great about your program is it's live. It's happening immediately. And more in broadcasting, whether it's television or radio, programs are not that spontaneous and often taped and sent around the country, as you well know. So that's that. You have such a, in your personality is I tried to describe your personality, but all the words are not in the dictionary. Now, I'm only joking.
Well, you know, at the holiday time, a lot of people describe my personality as somebody who's had too much rum candy.
Well, I'm not a great candy eater, and I don't drink that much, but I do, a gal, she's no longer with, but a gal I did it for years, Barbara, we loved a white Zinfandel, that's a certain wine. I'd maybe have one glass every 2 weeks because I'm not a heavy drinker, and I'm always on the road. But it's good to talk. By the way, I mentioned to you, and you did mention I'm going to be coming back, of course, and I wanted to hold off, and Scott, you understand me well enough, I wanted to hold off any predictions for the future until after Christmas Day because I don't want folks to be preoccupied right now with the days and the months and the years to come. I have some dramatic commentaries to make, and in lieu of, and this is a good cliffhanger, in lieu of today's, last night's, today's occurrence, the headlines, I have a very dramatic thing I'm going to do, prepare for the end of this year. And yes, it's dealing with today's news, but you won't guess what I have in mind. And that is that a good cliffhanger? Is that the kind of thing we would use in radio broadcasting when stories were done each week and you tried to get people to be wondering what's happening next? It sounds like
it's a good hook, Kreskin. So yes. So next week we're going to know something about the news that happened last
night.
Well,
it's going to be my prediction after Christmas, yes. But I got to tell you something, Scott. This is really rather interesting to me. I'm heavily, of course, as you would expect, I'm heavily booked this month, and I'm heavily booked most of the time. But don't go on my website to look for bookings, because these can't be announced. If I told you, and I don't know how many right now, I have bookings all over the East Coast here in private homes. Now, I don't misunderstand me. This has been done in the past. The country music industry was the first industry that really, as an industry, discovered a couple of years ago something I knew about, and that is more and more corporate people were having some of their programming in their homes. And let me share with you a reason why, and it's too bad that they had to worry about a prejudice of some groups of people and what have you. More and more owners of companies decided, well, we're not going to go into a hotel where we have a room, an eating area, a whole banquet hall to hold this celebration for this anniversary or this affair or what have you for the company. We're going to do it in private homes because at one point there were those in different towns that were critical that this person, how can they spend all this money on just a fun thing with the economy and everything else. So they stopped, a lot of them were stopping to do it and having them in their homes. And I want to tell you something. What a joy it is to, of course, I love public concerts and I love theater performances, and the larger the audience, the better. But it's very interesting being booked by corporate people celebrating special anniversaries in their home and having 30, 40 people there right in front of you because they said, gee, now you can work with any of us here. I am booked in one house in Essex County, New Jersey. So help me. I swear to you, Scott, I'm booked in one house four different times in the next month and a half. But each performance is for a different audience. As some people say, nobody has that many friends. Well, they I guess they're gathering from work, one group, and one group from else. But isn't that an interesting thing? And one house, you get a kick out of this. You know, we won't go into describing, you know about the check test that I do in all my performances. You know, my check is hidden. If I don't find it, I don't get paid and so forth. There's one show I've been booked for. It's out of state, and I don't know if it's in Iowa. I haven't looked at my schedule right now, but I said, well, that's fine. And the gentleman who booked me had seen me either in Vegas or in some theater and what have you. He says, I want Kreskin to do a performance in my home. He said, but I want the check test. And my remark back to them is I told my people here, you know, you tell them that's fine, of course. What I usually do is I'm driven away in a car. When a producer here in New Jersey that works in Hollywood had me at his home, I said, drive me in a car once around the block. When I come back in, you folks will have hidden the check. Well, they decided, these people booking me, no, he's going to be in the cellar. And I'll have some of the people down there guarding him to make sure he doesn't know what's going on. They decided they're going to hide my check anywhere in the entire three-story house. And that's going to be dramatic, huh?
That will be. Well, I wonder, you're going to be in this house four times over such a short amount of time.
That's not the house that I'm living in the check test in. That's a separate show.
Right, but I'm wondering. Right, but I'm wondering about this house that you're going to be doing this in. Do they have a room for you? Are they going to get you a hammock or something so you can just stay over?
Oh, no. I'm coming in, and there in their large living room will be the 20, 20, 30 people. Now, this group of people, they just moved the date, I guess, to January. But one group of people consists of eight people, and they're booking me at their their home because they want a private performance, you know, and what have you. But my work, you know, Scott, as we've discussed before, my work has been incredibly exciting. I have to tell you a story. You interrupt me if I missed my point or there's something you wanted to take advantage of there. But I had a program recently for the New Jersey Medical Association. It was a private affair. And after the show, I was doing a meet and greet, which I have books and so forth, and I autograph pictures and what have you, and people take pictures between us. And two men came over to me and said, "Kreskin, you probably don't remember us." And I said, "No, forgive me." They said, "Well, we were part of a group. We're from Allentown, Pennsylvania." So my family, the Polish side of my family, has settled in Allentown, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I love that area. They said, "Well, you worked for the Allentown Police Department on a project." And I said, "Oh, my God, were you two of the gentlemen involved?" Story's an interesting story. The story's interesting because the follow-up story. I have a problem, and until recently do people know about it, and that is I have an extraordinary high level of hearing. Did I ever tell you that, Scott?
No, I didn't know that.
That sounds like it can't be negative and so forth, but if you go to weddings today, you go to private affairs and so forth, as people are telling me more and more, the music is so loud because it's all canned music. It's not a live music. And these disc jockeys don't realize that people, when they go to weddings, they go to receptions, they go to affairs, people like to converse. And a gal that I will sometimes go to weddings and so forth, we end up after the dinner or what have you, leaving and sitting in an outside room with a group of people talking because the music is played so loud that people are not communicating as well. If you go to a lot of the places where young people go to sing, to eat and dine and so forth, have very loud music. One of the reasons is, unconsciously, and I'll discuss that in the future, that way they don't have to converse, because people, a lot of young people today, have lost the art of communications and conversation and what have you. So it's a very, everybody tells me this that works in business. They say, "Yes, Kreskin, you hit the nail on the head. It is as noisy as possibly can be." Well, I have high hearing. I can sit in a restaurant and hear 12 conversations at once. And I'm not bragging, because it's nothing to brag about. When I walked on the stage, the first time I was at Carnegie Hall, and that's four balconies, the place was full. And I'm standing by the footlights, speaking to the audience. And I look up, a young man on the fourth balcony said something quietly to his friend about what I was talking about. And I commented on it, and it blew their minds up there because I heard the remarks very clearly. So it's wonderful to be able to hear so well, but it's also I have to leave places where the noise is very loud because it sometimes becomes irritable. But the police, knowing about this, called me in and talk about an interesting crime case. A meeting was going to be taking place with the underworld in that part of Lehigh Valley area, that part of Pennsylvania, at this restaurant, which was really not just a restaurant, but was slot machines and everything all over the place, but they had food there. And the room had slot machines all over the place. They said, "Kreskin, we can't be there. We'd like someone to eavesdrop and give us an idea of what is going on. It's going to be four or five of them." And I came into the city the day before, and I talked to them. And this gal, they brought this gal over. They said, "Listen, she's a detective, works on our force, but we can't even put her in there because they know too much is going on. If you'll come about 10 minutes before we think they're going to arrive, she's going to walk in. Wearing, I don't know what it's going to be, but anyway, so not to be noticed. And if you can walk in and somehow go to one end of the place and play something," I said, "I don't even know slot machines, but I'll figure out what to do, and maybe you can give us feedback." Well, I was there, I was in the car, and the police came over, and she came over. And she said, "I'm going to walk in and stand behind the table and as I'm picking things up and working there, and you'll know the table they're at." So I walk in. I turned around, I dropped something on the floor, and I turned towards everybody, and there she was, and I could see the table. It was five five men sitting there, what have you. That's not the point. So she left, and I turned around. They were there for like 48 minutes, and when they left, I met with the police and gave them details of everything they talked about in the 48 minutes they were there. So it's very, very dramatic. However, that's not the full picture of the story. Talk about synchronicity. A few days later, I'm a guest in New York City at a very plush restaurant. I'm not going to mention the name of it because I don't want it to be negative or thinking I'm condemning the restaurant. It shouldn't have happened, but I can't blame the people who had us there. I was there with Joey Reynolds, a legendary talk show host, and a couple of Broadway performers and some broadcast people as a guest. And we're sitting around this table, tremendous food. It was an opening of something. And here on the stage walks, I didn't know this gentleman. I guess he was putting together equipment. Well, I didn't know it was hard rock equipment or what have you. Something went wrong. And suddenly a gigantic sound shot through the room. People were screaming, putting their hands on their ears and racing out of the place. Now, I've had, as you understand these things, tune-ups before a show, and sometimes the sound goes off, and if you're standing near where the speaker, I can go off, and it can be serious. I've had it happen twice where I lost my hearing temporarily, but I almost collapsed onto the table. They caught me, and they Joey and them walked me out of the room limping, and I had lost my hearing. I couldn't hear anybody. They took me outside. They got a chair and sat me in the chair, and they all stood around me, the five or six that were at the table with me. Next day, they kept calling me and saying, what happened at the hospital? So it just threw me completely, and the fear I had was that I had been told, should this happen again, I could lose my hearing permanently, because the hearing is very sensitive. So finally, Joey and them, they called and they said, listen to my road manager, you got to take him to this hospital. They'll wait for him there. He's got to be checked. So finally, they got me towards the car. I couldn't walk, so they carried me. And I'm not a frail person, but they carried me and put me in the car. And my road manager drove me, and I said, listen, Ken, I've got some hearing. I could start to hear vaguely. Slowly drive home, and it was like an hour, 2 hours or what have you. But we drove, and he got me home, put me in a chair in the living room where I was all dressed up, and I just sat there till 8 o'clock the next day. My hearing returned, and thank God I'm back to normal. The only thing that people are worried about is there seems to be some brain damage, but that started when I was 4 years old, Ken. So you won't talk about that, Scott. You won't mention that at all. Folks, make believe you didn't hear that. I'm joking. I'm lucky.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? But isn't the irony, Scott, the irony of it is that a few days before, I am out of nowhere. Some police come up to me that aren't even from New Jersey that remind me of a case that I worked on because of my hearing abilities. That's all I can say.
Well, Kreskin, I was just thinking there, because we are in the full swing of the holiday spirit now, with that hearing that you have, that tremendous hearing where you can hear what's going on in the balcony, you are kind of like Santa Claus. I wonder if he could put you on the payroll to find out who's naughty or nice.
Well, I got to tell you one thing, and I thank the music industry, and you know this, and you're aware of this. Approximately 30%, at least 30%, they say it's more than that, of the music industry has lost some of their hearing, because in the early days, as they're younger and they're starting the business, the music is often played very loud, and they don't accommodate it. Now, and I have hearing plug. I have hearing pieces that I put in my ears when I go to events. I had that hearing piece, those pieces in my ears, just in case the music was to be allowed the night of that incident. But the sound was not music; it was a grating electronic sound. I do have those earplugs, and they've been people in the music industry say, Chris, can we all wear these? We wear this when we're on the stage with other performers, because sometimes the music gets so out of control. But I traditionally, every year, Scott, and this is Christmas around the corner, one of the great moments of my life, and some of my people are no longer with me, my brother, my mom, and what have you, but I have a gathering of a couple dozen people at my home, and it's a traditional piece. And we sit around. I first of all, I do a performance. I do a private performance of about 45 minutes, and with my share doing things with them that probably people haven't seen from the stage and what have you, that I find that it would be interesting for them. And then we come into the living room and the chairs are all set up, and we sit around the piano, and everybody has their own music sheets, and they sing as I play the piano Christmas music for 45 minutes to an hour. Sometimes it goes to an hour and a half. And then when that is done, we return to the kitchen, and we have a special Christmas feast. I have that party, that Christmas Eve party, but because I can't get everyone comfortably the way I'd like them, intimately into the house like that for that kind of affair, I have four Christmas Eve parties every year. The first is Christmas Eve. The other three, well, last year one had to be early in March on a weekend evening, but the other three are usually in January. And the people that come, they're separate folks, because some come from out of town and like a town nearby. And it's each of those parties is as if it were Christmas Eve. When people come in, the atmosphere is that it's Christmas Eve. We're celebrating Christmas, and we sing the music and what have you. Those four specialties are part of my life.
Now, Kreskin, you've had these Christmas Eve parties. You have four of them, and I've never been invited to one of them.
What is this? If you live near, well, now, you know.
I would drive there if I was on the invitation list.
Are you kidding?
No. If I was on the invitation list, I mean, we're not that far away. I would be right there.
How far away? You're distant. Scott, you know I would invite you if you were near. We got to talk. Oh my God! Would I have to alert the town that you're in? No, I'm joking.
Oh, it would be big. we could all stand around the table. Well, see, I tell you what this goes back to, Kreskin, and I was mentioning this to somebody the other night. Is one of the reasons I like to have you on at Christmas. And we do this every year here at the station, and we've done this for many, many years. We, starting around Thanksgiving time, give out the station address, and we say, if you send us a Christmas card and include your return address, we will hang your Christmas card in the studio, and we will send you a card back. Now, every year for many years, I got a Christmas card from the late Phyllis Diller, who was a wonderful lady.
Oh, I love her. I could tell you stories about her. We were very close.
Oh,
by the way, Scott, do you get a card from me, yes or no?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say was, for about the last 10 years, maybe even longer than that, the card that I look forward to the most, now that, God bless her, Phyllis is gone about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, is the, every year, I go out to the mailbox sometime in mid-December, and there's an amazing Kreskin Christmas card, and it's always on my table, and when I have my holiday parties, everybody sees it, and it's a wonderful card that you put out every year, and I commend you for that.
Well, Scott, I got to tell you, you mentioned Phyllis Diller. I have four cats here. One is Spooky. He's a beautiful black cat, and then his brother, Pumpkin, who's the color of a pumpkin. They're like 8 or 9 years old, and then I got two young, very young ones, a year and a half or what, old, Squeaky, and I mean, they're sensitive, they're beautiful, and they're very, and they sit around me. One of them sits in my lap, if I didn't travel, I would have dogs. I would have 7, 8 dogs. So I love animals, and this is part of the joy here. As I'm sitting here, one cat is Spooky is sitting right in front of me. One thing about animals is they don't betray people. And I've been quoted, and I probably said this to you in the past, but I don't have any dogs, but I often mention, and I was quoted in a book in Germany, the reason dogs make better friends than people. And there's a very good reason that dogs make better friends than people, because they wag their tails, not their tongues.
It's true,
and it's psychologically it's very consoling, and animals are very, people can extend themselves in some ways, their feelings and what have you. So I just feel I got to share one of the crazy things that, if people said, Kreskin, if that were in a book, people wouldn't believe you. A week and a half ago, here in this area, New Jersey, a high school team won a game. Don't worry about the phone. I'm not going to answer right now because I want to be able to say I'm speaking to you. But you can see that I'm. I read in the paper. People call me on the phone, and the coach of the team, they said he did a Kreskin. He said to the team, he said, if we win this game, the only way it's going to happen is a certain play is going to take place, and when that play takes place, you folks will win the game. So in the area, in the newspapers, the sports writers. Said he did a Kreskin. He did a Kreskin because he predicted how the game was going to run and that the team, the thing that would work. Well, that happens all the time. Every week in some sports area here in the United States, I get a memo from the people that service me for that and say that I was mentioned. But that's not the reason I'm mentioning this to you. A week and a half ago, can I on the air literally answer a phone?
Do it. That's live radio.
Hold it. Stay there.
Go ahead. This is live radio. This is why we like to be live. And we are live can get here, chatting with the world-famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin. Well, let's listen and see who he's talking to.
Scott, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. So let me tell you what happened. So anyway.
That wasn't a telemarketer, was it, Kreskin?
No, what they called. Okay. But let me tell you what's interesting about this. So I saw the article. So I was at the school about 2 weeks ago, and the gymnasium was packed, and the entire team was there, and I had pictures taken with them and the coach. The reason we contacted them, and I said, I'll come over for 45 minutes or so, is the gentleman who the article said was doing a Kreskin, turns out people didn't realize it the first time. His last name was Caldwell. And Scott, from the day one to the first 56 years of my life, I lived in Caldwell, New Jersey. And that was and here, can you imagine a guy that they call Kreskin, his name is Caldwell. So it's a coincidence, but it shows you how fascinating life can be. I just got such a kick out of it that I decided I'm going to go to that school, and we had a ball. That's all I can tell you,
That's a wonderful. Well, and this goes back to something I wanted to ask you today, because we are talking about the holidays. What were the holidays like for a young Kreskin? What are your memories of holiday past?
Well, tremendous. This is why I've kept these four groups of people coming every year, many of whom I've known much of my life. Uncles and, well, some of those are gone, but cousins and what have you. I don't get to see people much. People think, gee, all this. I don't have that much spare time because in many months I'm only home 5 days of the month, and when I get home, I'm with my crew here and what have you, and can't get to go out. So memories I have sitting around and gathering. And my grandmother was from Sicily, my mother's side of the family, and she cooked for royalty. So the feast we had of 20, 25 of us, everybody conversing, and then we go into the living room where there was a beat-up old-fashioned piano. I think they paid $25 for it, but people don't realize, Scott, and maybe remember, 40, 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, many, many homes had pianos in them, old pianos, because the kids learned to sit and play at the piano. When I was in a parade with my uncle, my grandfather, an Italian-American parade. We marched every year, and one year we marched through town, and when I came back, I was five and a half years old. I walked into the living room where my aunt would sometimes, she wasn't married then, she'd sometimes play popular songs then, and I'd want her to play the children's songs, you know, we play sing in school, but these popular songs, I could play them today automatically because she played these songs that were very popular then. But we came back from the march, and I walked into the living room. Nobody, my aunt was at work. My grandmother was there. My grandfather was there. I sat at the piano, and I never touched the keys before, and played the exact song that was the theme of the Italian-American parade that day. And it raised a great interest in the family. People came that weekend to the house and said, what did he do? And that's when I started to learn to play the piano. So I've appeared with the New London Philharmonic. I've appeared at Carnegie Hall, Skits Henderson, bless his soul, when he was working for Carson, and he had an orchestra at Carnegie Hall. He devoted an entire concert to me, and I played the piano in the second half or what have you. So I love the piano.
Now, Kreskin, when you're together at these parties and you're around the piano, what is the song, the Christmas song, that gives you the most joy to play and hear every season?
Well, everyone knows about this. By the way, when I finish playing, everybody sits and waits, and I play the song that I played all the years when my mother was with us. And since there are two famous versions, my elaborate piano of it, I play it like a concert piece, but I play the Ave Maria. But if you really want to know the key song, if I'm in a restaurant in these days now, and that song in the background music starts to be played, I have to leave the restaurant until it's over with, because it moves me very deeply. Because I'm traveling all the time, and of course I always make sure I'm home for Christmas Eve. And the song, and I love White Christmas, the most popular record, and Crosby's rendition, but I love all the classic Christmas music. But the song that chokes me up deeply is I'll Be Home for Christmas. I cannot listen to it when I'm not home. I cannot be in a restaurant and listen to it. I have to leave, because it brings up many things, including the 5.5 years off and on that I toured Saudi Arabia for the American oil company and what have you, because they didn't have U.S. entertainment there. So 5.5 stories, I could write a book about my experience in Saudi Arabia. But the shows were for the people from Canada, United States, England, what have you, that were worked for the company. I did not realize until the last year how many royalty of Saudi Arabia entered the theater and what have you. One day, it was 10 days or so before Christmas, and I'm in a theater, one of the cities I was going to be performing in. They would fly me to the cities in small planes, what have you, and there were these people cleaning up and so forth. I thought they were part of the nation. Turns out they were from Africa. They had jobs there, and these men we're just cleaning up, and I'm sitting at the stage. I said, would you like to hear some Christmas music? The place suddenly went dead, and they rushed to the side of the stage. They said, oh, please, some of us haven't been home for 8 years. We haven't heard any, because you couldn't play that public. Couldn't be played publicly in Saudi Arabia. If the Westerners had decorations in their house, they had to curtain up the windows so that would not show outside. And I sat there, and my guide, who was Saudi, a very wonderful man, said, Kreskin, let me make sure. Don't start yet. So he went out to the lobby, came back. He says, Kreskin, the doors are closed. They're locked. I just want to make sure that no one, you play what you want to play. And for the next 45 minutes, I played Christmas music. It was one of the most moving days of my life, because these people hadn't heard this music for all those years. So that's a story I've not told, but I'm sharing with you folks.
Well, and you know, Kreskin, when I hear a story like that and I hear the emotion in your voice as you tell it, that to me really is what this holiday is about. Sometimes,
yes,
we get wrapped up in the gifts and the trees and the lights and all that. But the truth of the matter is that Christmas past is very important, and I think Charles Dickens had this right when he wrote A Christmas Carol, because it is the memories of Christmas past that bring up the emotion that make this holiday for everybody, and it's something different for everybody because we all have past experiences that are different.
Yes. You know, it was interesting because Irving Berlin, who I consider one of the greatest composers in art history, and we don't seem to celebrate composers like we once did, and we got to realize he, you know, was a peasant boy in Russia, came to this country, and as a little boy, sat in bars and restaurants when he was in his preteens, and he'd sing a few songs. He wasn't a professional, not well, but just sang, and they gave him quarters, and he took them home. And of course, later on, he became this Jewish peasant. And I tell this to young people who don't appreciate what we sometimes have in this Jewish peasant who was not given an entitlement or a government endowment or anything or minimum wage like that. But he went, and the way he helped is he sang in these places and came back. And this Jewish peasant ended up writing the most popular Christmas song of all time, White Christmas, and I can hear right now Crosby's rendition and everybody else's in my mind. And he wrote the most popular Easter song of all time, this Jewish peasant, Easter Parade, and he wrote what many feel is the second Star-Spangled Banner, and that is God Bless America. What an inspiration. And if you listen to the beginning, which you don't hear at Crosby's great rendition of White Christmas or the renditions of it, but if you hear the preface of it, he writes about, oh, how he looks for the day of smoke, of snow and what have you, because at that point, he'd lost his wife. She died. It was a Jewish wife. But when he had remarried, it was a Catholic gal, and she was in the East Coast here, but he couldn't come home from L.A. because he was in the middle of a movie, and here he's writing White Christmas. And folks, listen to me. Listen, if you get a chance, to the refrain before the theme, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, because then you'll realize how meaningful that song was when he mentions the day of snow and the cold and the walking through, because he wasn't going to be able to see that since he was in Hollywood in the middle of a movie.
It's a fascinating time of year for that reason. I know people in Florida have that same feeling about...
Oh, yeah. My brother did for years.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Kreskin, is your house decorated for the holiday?
That's incredible. I have to leave here because I have an appearance outside of this area, other part of New Jersey. But this is the deadline day, and it's going to be decorated. We have three trees, and the trees are going to be decorated. They've been put up in three different rooms. And I really celebrate Christmas. You know, we're going to talk. Maybe we'll talk. I'll have a quick call to you next week, just to make sure I would get to wish you. I wish you and everybody listening in a tremendous Merry Christmas, and my heart and soul with all of you. And you can understand. You asked me something about Christmas, which people who know me well realize how important it is to me. And not just my love of a great song like White Christmas, but the people who attend, that sing it. And everybody comes here. Everyone sings all the songs, even if they've never sung before. And you know, that's kind of neat, isn't it, Scott? That's the way it was meant to be.
It really, and I just have, before we run out, we have 4.5 minutes left, and I want to get these two things in, because these are two quick Christmas predictions, and I know you'll have them. How will Santa Claus do on Christmas Eve?
He is going to be doing extraordinarily well, and I always send mentally some energy to him because he has a heavier schedule than even I have.
And the other
and
one.
I have a crazy schedule, but that, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm very blessed. I love my work, you know.
Absolutely. And the other one, and maybe this is even more valid this time of year, how many fruitcakes will be left at the end of this season?
Do you know, some people just sent me, some people I know who live in this area, but they had to leave and moved to another part of the country. And every year she made these wonderful cookies and brought them to my house. Well, that package, that metal package, came tin foil, tin paste piece, with the cookies in them, and we will not open that box of cookies until Christmas Eve. I'm sorry, they're not available ahead of time.
Well, here's what I see. This is my prediction on the fruitcake thing, Kreskin, because here's what I believe, that after Christmas, we will have more fruitcakes than we had before Christmas.
That's a very interesting remark. And I'm going to ask you to explain how that's going to be.
Here's what happens. There are the fruitcakes that are created this year, and then when Christmas is over, there are fruitcakes that just show up because nobody has ever eaten a fruitcake. You will never run into anybody who's ever eaten any of these things. So some fall out of closets.
I'm not a great fan of fruitcakes, believe it or not.
Oh, me either. We called the big fruitcake is the Claxton fruitcake it comes out of Claxton, Georgia, and we called the plant last week, and the guy who's worked there for 57 years, Rufus, I don't even think he likes the fruitcakes, and he works there.
I don't live. By the way, real quick, before it'd be unfair not to mention this. There's a new book out called Ghosts of the Quad Cities. I'll talk to you about it another time. It's a small book, but it's dealing with the places that were supposedly haunted. I'm not going to advocate ghosts or what have you, but the gentleman who wrote it, Howie, I'll talk to you about that. But he said he got interested in this when he was at college because I held a seance there and produced some unusual phenomena by the power of mental suggestion. So I've done the introduction to the book, and it's called Ghosts of the Quad Cities. I only got two copies right now to my name, but people can go online and see where it is, and that's just a new book. And in about a month, my other book, my 22nd book, will be available. I'll talk to you about that very soon. I'm going to go now, but I wish you, I don't know where this half hour went, slightly longer, but I want to tell you, Scott, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Kreskin, and maybe I'll show up at one of these Christmas parties when I get the invite.
All right, take care, Scott.
Merry Christmas, Kreskin. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There's only one amazing Kreskin, and God love him, he is a lot of fun. We've got a whole nother hour this morning, and we're going to talk about candy. We're going to talk about trees. We've got some Christmas cards in. We're going to talk to you on the toll-free line, maybe about that Kreskin interview. Toll-free lines are going to be open the next hour, starting at about 10 after 9 and through 10 o'clock this morning. So we've got a lot to do. Isn't the amazing Kreskin a lot of fun? I enjoy him. He's a fun guy. He's high energy. I feel a little slighted, though, not getting invited to this party now. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I would go, but you want an invitation. But he feels the same way about fruitcakes I do. See, all you fruitcake lovers, even the amazing Kreskin doesn't like the fruitcake. But that's the way the holiday crumbles. Or maybe that's the way the fruitcake crumbles. I don't know. We're going to break. We're coming back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. Live here on WWGH Radio.
But the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Things were hung by the chin with care.